Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Felt good. That one felt good. This is going to be a good series. I always base the series off intro music. If the music feels good, it's going to be a good series. No, I'm just kidding. I want to say something very, very old school today. Open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We haven't heard that in church in a long time. Or open up the app to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I feel like God's going to speak to us out of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. God's doing a new work inside of me. And one of the things that he's been doing inside of me is a lot of times I like to kind of give you like some quick hitters, where God gives me quick hitters. But in this new season where God has me, he's literally downloading scripture in my heart and he's letting it marinate. Come on, how many of you know if the meal has marination involved, it's gonna taste better. It's just gonna taste better when it's marinated. So God's been marinating Ecclesiastes inside of my heart. I've been thinking about this idea of what I was gonna share with you guys this month, and he just said, hey, it's Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes. So I've been working through what it means to let it just kind of sit and kind of be all in the scripture. And so I feel like God's got a word for us on Ecclesiastes. It's gonna be incredible. Hopefully it's gonna change your life for the better, because God's word is God, and God loves to change people's lives. Hey, if you're visiting for the first time, Dinah said a moment ago, we want to invite you in to be a part of the story that God is doing right here in this story, right here at this church. And he's doing some incredible things. Man, it's so cool to see young people get baptized. It's cool to see anybody get baptized. But young people, we have a mission to reach this younger generation before the world reaches them. We want to reach them before the world reaches them, because if the world reaches them first, there's no guarantee that they'll ever give them back to the church. And so we want to reach them while we can. So if you're here today, we want you to know that we're going for that. We're reaching for them. And if you're new, we're glad you're here. Make sure you scan that QR code, because we would love to connect with you. Have you ever been to a place and you feel like an outsider? That's miserable, right? I don't care, because wherever I go, I'm an insider. I pretend to be an insider. I'm like, yo, what's up? Pretend, like, if you see me at a Chick-fil-A, you would think I was part of the team. Because I'm, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Can I get you a Sun Joy? I don't care. Can I get you some salsas? Can I get you some napkins? I'm all in there. I like to be all in the experience. I get around people. I get energized. I get excited. And what I want you to know about the church is this really, really long buffet table, and there's room for everybody to sit at the table. And there's different tables all across the city, but we want you to know there's a space at this table for you. It's not too full, by the way. It's not too full. We'll make space for you. I was at a thing this past weekend, and there wasn't enough chairs for everybody. And I saw Diana go get a chair and put it at our table. I'm like, she's shafting somebody else, but to make our table better. And I was like, that's my girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, shaft them, but make our table. We want you to know we're making space for you. Everything we do here, we're thinking about you. Want you to be a part of the story. I was looking at Michael just for a second. Mike and Jamal came in last night, and they set the chairs up, and they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect, and they weren't excellent. And we believe at church, we believe that God's house should be excellent and clean and order. And so they were like, we were done. Like, we had this hour long. Last night we stepped in an hour late, and it was fire. Like, it was like, I was like, hey guys, let's leave, because an hour is like a record here. Courtney, that's a record. Like, maybe 55 minutes, but like, it's a record. And I turned around. I spoke that. We prayed over one of our friends who's in a two-hour testing today, who her body is filled with cancer, and they're going to test and see where it's at. And so we went to go pray for her. And when we got them praying, they go, hey, we got to go back in there. And I'm like, why? They're like, because the chairs were not perfectly straight, and so we're going in there. I said, you guys better get in there. You better get in there. And so we want you to know there's a space for you. There's a space for you at this house. I'm so thankful for all of our dream team. While there's space for you to be here, I'm so thankful for the people that make this space for you to be here. And so there's a young lady that was here today that on running lyrics, and I heard the guy say to her, have you ever done this before? she goes, no, I've never done it before. And he goes, well, this song is really fast, and you got to be ready to go. And I'm like, we just threw her into the fire. Come on, how many of you know you'll learn how to swim if you get thrown into the deep end? That's how you'll learn. You know, you'll figure it out. And so I'm just so thankful for this team, and we honor you guys. And a lot of people put work into making this happen for you today. And so, you know, we're really, really glad that you're here today. But we're starting a series called Chasing Carrots. I know some of you guys are you're a little bit on the younger side, but back in the day, I read a story back in the day. I don't know how far back in the day it is, but however far you can imagine, it's before technology. But in agriculture, in order to till the ground or to till the soil up, they would use donkeys to pull through, or they would use donkeys to get from point A to point B to pull whatever it is that they were pulling, the grain or whatever it is. They were probably pulling gluten. You know what I'm saying, Lydia? I know they were pulling gluten. In order to pull the gluten, they had to put something out in front of the donkey to make it chase, to make it move to go forward, because apparently donkeys are stubborn. But what they would do, you've seen this picture before, you can Google it, chasing carrots. You'll see a donkey harnessed up, yoked up, and you'll see a carrot in front of the donkey, and the donkey will be chasing the carrot. He'll be chasing the carrot. And the deal is, it never ever gets to the carrot. It doesn't know that the carrot is stationary, but they know they want the carrot, and so they begin to chase the carrot, but they never ever get the carrot until after the user or the farmer is done with the donkey, after they get to the location. And so we get the phrase chasing carrots from that. Chasing something that we'll never ever get, or chasing something that we're using to get to a desired location. When we find out the desired location, when we get there, that the desired location, it leaves us empty, wanting more carrots. What I have found in humanity is that we're all chasing carrots. It starts at a young age. Moms and dads, it's your fault. Here's why. You remember when you wanted little Timmy to start walking? You put a carrot out there for him. You got out the phone. Some of y'all, the newer generation, you got out the phone, got on YouTube, and put on, you know, Rachel, Miss Rachel. I don't know what you watch. I don't know what the kids watch. Well, maybe Barney. I don't know what you watch. You say, come get it. And little Timmy just starts to, and they begin to, you want them, you have a desired outcome for them, and you're putting a carrot out there in front of them so that they will chase it, so that they will go after it. And it just, and so it begins. And we chase carrots. And so it's whatever it is, whatever carrot you chase, whatever carrots put in front of you, we begin to chase. So you get to school, and you, for me, I went to a Baptist church, and at the Baptist church, when you learn Bible verses, you got a gold star. Come on, does anybody remember gold stars? That was the good old days. We don't get gold stars. Now you don't get gold stars. You get a streak. You get on the U version app, you get a streak button. And so you want to try to get that streak going. You want to get more days read in the Bible this year than you did last year, because we know the Bible will change our lives. And so we find ourselves chasing that carrot. Or in school, it's, hey, if you want to get an A or a B, or in my house, you don't want to get your behind beat, you got good grades. And so like you wasn't a carrot. It's like, so you didn't want your parents to spank your bottom. And so you chase that. Or these athletes that we just baptized, they want to get that scholarship. They want to get that D1 or D2, or you want to go to the league. And so you begin chasing these carrots. If you put the hard work in and you buy into the process, then you'll get the thing. You'll attain the thing. I saw this quote about chasing carrots that I think you and I can resonate with today. And it says this: human history, this is good news and bad news, human history is the long, terrible story of something other than God which will make him happy. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. That's all we want. We're always chasing something. But what we find out is whenever we get to the thing, we find out that it's not good enough. Can we agree? Can we just, have you noticed already, I noticed in the first service, it's also in the second service, there's a huge tension in the room, because usually you get to a sermon, you're like, man, that's for them. Oh man, hopefully they're listening. And usually maybe you're like, man, I hope these young kids are listening. Talking about the sex. Hopefully these kids are listening, you know, like whatever it is. But there's not a person in the room who's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, that must be for you. It happens. We're always chasing things. And then we get older and it doesn't go away. And it's just story after story. And I'm going to take just a hard detour and pray for just a moment. It matters, because if we don't figure this out, it's detrimental. My sister just said to me just a moment ago, her kids go to a school, a ninth grader took his life last night in Central Florida. If we don't reach them, or we don't get reached, the worst can happen. The worst can happen. So if I know that's heavy, we're going to stop and pray for just a moment. Lord, right now I pray you be with this family. The worst, their worst day is today. The worst day of their life happened today. A grandpa, a grandma, a brother, a sister. I pray you'd be with that family, God. There's no way to make sense of that. I pray that somehow through all this, you'll be able to point people to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And there's no way to fit that in so it's comfortable. Just, it's a reality for me. It's a reality for us. Last Friday night, we were at, Craig and I and Eloy and some of our other friends from First Service, were at a thing, and my sister was there, and we learned that we were learning around this organization, Freeway, that we partner with, that we support. And there was a kid in there. His name is Noah. They shared his story at that environment. Noah was the happiest kid at youth group every year. Every year. Oh, I love youth group missions trips. In his senior year of high school, he got wrapped up in the wrong crowd. And he got 18, 19, got involved in some drugs, and he overdosed. 19, 20 years of age. The happiest kid, middle school, high school, and just the wrong crowd. And it's like we're chasing, maybe, because it's not bad to chase, like, inclusion. Like, you want to be included, but you got to be included in the right spaces. You got to be included, like this is a good space. This is a good space for you to be. And I was talking to some friends last night, and they said, I want to be around people who are chasing God. And sure, you have to have lost friends. I don't know, but God put a thing in my heart. This is a totally different message than the first service. No shocker to anybody, but God really put it in my heart. When we launched this church, Dinah's dad, he gave me these shoes. And he read to me, Scripture says how beautiful it is when men and women take the gospel to people. And he said, hey, Wes, I want you to be reminded. And through all of that, God knew I'd wear it today. He knew he'd be here. All of that. No, that's a really random story. But I think in some of my goings and my doings, I don't even know if those are words, but in 8 years, we were so focused on making sure people don't go to hell. And I was listening to this podcast this weekend. It says a lot of churches, what happens is that when they launch a church with good intention, what happens is you get mission drift. And it's like, you want lost people to come. Lost people to come. You know what I used to pray? God, don't send any Christians here. Because Christians are the problem. Like, there's a lot of nuances there. Like, you're like, well, I'm a Christian. You're saying the problem. No, I'm not saying you might be. You might not be. I had a business owner call me this week or months ago, and he goes, hey, I know a guy. He's a pastor. He goes to my establishment. He has the worst testimony that I have ever seen of a Christian in our city. He goes, what should I do? I said, have him call me. I love to set Christians free. I wouldn't serve them. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. I didn't all that. I'm just kidding a little bit. But it's like we sometimes are the Christians. Sometimes are the problem. How many of us know a Christian where you're like, that's why. Yeah, you're why. I had a guy once say to me early on in the church. He goes, I can't let you follow me on social media because we're in an election year. And I go, you're the problem. You're the problem because politics is more important than the Savior. I got into this to see people set free. If we're not careful, we can go, oh, I found some Christians. And we can get comfortable in that. And God is, in my heart, just reminding me, I was with my friend Paul, so I said, God is, and told Diana, like, God has birthed in me a desire to go on and want to reach more lost people. Because that's what I got into it for. But what happens is you can go, we fill this room up twice today. There's more people here today than there were last week. You can, honestly, we're doing it. You can go, we're doing it. Most of those people that got baptized, you can go, look, we're doing it. They got saved here and they got baptized here. We're doing it. But you can get sideways and go, I can chase the carrot of, I got to get this building. Diane and I, we're coaching pastors. All week, philosophy is, hey, would you pray for us? We're trying to take this building. We got a building. But you can chase the carrot. I don't know if I'm making more sense or doing more help than I'm doing harm, but I feel like God's just reuniting my desire to want out and go out and reach more lost people. I'm so thankful that he's doing that. That's a good carrot to chase. So there's good carrots, there's bad carrots, but most of us find ourselves chasing things that we're going to leave us empty. I love what Shaquille O'Neal said, the great theologian Shaquille O'Neal. he said to Jason Kelsey, he said, make sure you remember Jason Kelsey. I know a lot of you guys don't know Jason Kelsey. It's Taylor Swift. She dates a guy that plays football. It's his brother. Jason Kelsey just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm telling you the story because I was with his chaplain this past weekend, him and I coach other pastors together. And Jason, Shaquille O'Neal told Jason Kelsey, he goes, make sure you keep in front of you what matters the most. He goes, I got a 100,000 square foot house and no one there to enjoy it with. Chasing carrots. Jim Carrey, the great theologian, also said, I wish everybody could be rich so they can find out that money doesn't satisfy. Come on, guys. We chase these carrots. So as I'm doing that, God gave me Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to roll here in some scripture. This is really discouraging. It sounds like this author that's about to write to you, it sounds like he's low-key depressed. So just know that there's some hope in there. If you get halfway through the book of Ecclesiastes, the sun comes up a little bit. You're like, oh, thank you, God. But today, the sun's going to stay down. It's going to be overcast, okay? It's going to be really awesome. I'm glad you came today. It's going to be awesome. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, these are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. So if you're here and you live in this area, you have a lot. But this dude, he has a lot. This is a son of a king. Do you think he's ever wanted for anything? No, but we're going to find out that he chased carrots the whole way through. He had access to everything, and yet he still, because if you're going after things that aren't permanent, like God, he's permanent. He's a permanent fixture. If you're chasing things, you'll find out when you get them, they're going to leave you with an insatiable desire to go after more, either of that or of a new carrot. The king's son. The king, when you graduate from high school, you get whatever car you want. The king's son, you date whatever girl you want. Everybody wants to hear on the king's son. That's the guy we're following. He has everything. He has houses. We're going to find out that he has maids. His maids have maids. His maids' maids have maids. They had to build fountains to irrigate his lawn. Like, they had to build lakes to water all that they had. He tried everything. And he says in here, this is this guy. That's this guy. So everything, here's what he says. Everything is meaningless. That's encouraging. Week one of the series. What'd you learn today? Everything is meaningless. Everything's meaningless. Says the teacher, completely. He's like, in case you didn't get it, I want to go ahead and add an adjective and say it one more time. Completely meaningless. Verse 3. What do people get from all the hard work underneath the sun? Good question. Generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises, the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, and then it turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. The New Testament version of this, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Matthew tells us that there's two roads to get on. There's a broad road, leads to destruction. There's a narrow road, leads to Jesus. Most people are chasing this broad idea of something that they want to get, and then they never get it, or if they get it, it doesn't fill us. It's miserable. It's like chasing after the wind. Here we go. Verse 8, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. To one of our young people last night, we had dinner with them. I said, be careful chasing after things that are temporary, because when you chase after things that are temporary, then you get comfortable. And then after you get comfortable, the thing that you were chasing, you're no longer chasing. It actually owns you. We have to be careful what we're going after, what really matters. Verse 9, it gets worse. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past. And in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing. Now, if you go buy golf balls online, which I do, you'll see on there, sometimes you look at them, it'll actually have a date on the golf ball, 2022, 2023. Well, I don't have to buy 2023. 2024, because I'm still having a hard time hitting the ball. It doesn't matter what year's on it, my point. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's a chasing after the wind. I got paired up with a guy this week, and he had a club that was older than I was. I know it was older than me because I used the same club 20 years ago. A lot of guys are like, this doesn't work. I need to buy a new club. It's not the club. I've been on enough golf courses to know it's not the club. It's the one with the club in its hand. Just depends whose hand it's in. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you I can put that club in Tiger Woods' hand. I saw Tiger do a driving competition the other day with just a regular golfer on the golf course, got paired up. And he's like, let's have a driving competition. And he get this guy some coaching techniques. And the guy hit the ball really, really far. And Tiger's like, that's amazing. Really, really good job. He goes, all right, now it's not my turn. And he tees the ball up, and he backs up and does like this. And he hits the ball further from his knees than the guy did standing up. There's a chase. It's like we're all chasing something. This picture. And it's like, oh, that's this picture. And it's everywhere we go. And it doesn't really matter. The tension in the room communicates to you and I that it's not a respecter of persons. We all chase. We're all chasing. Let me keep on going. Verse 11. It's the hard part, Sarah. Sometimes I just kind of bounce all around, but you're doing a great job, Sarah. Verse 11 says this. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in the future generations, no one's going to remember what we are doing. Now, I need to clarify something real quick. This is very daunting. I'm going to try to slide some hope in there along the way. The good news is that he gets about halfway through the book, and he begins to shift the narrative and goes, hey, there's actually some things that actually matter. Do you want to, you know what will be remembered? You invest in the next generation, they'll remember you. They'll remember you. That's why I'm trying to go to all the stuff. I'm trying to do all the things. I believe heavily in them. I'm like, I want to be in it with them side, because they're going to remember that. And if they ever get away from God, they're going to go, I think I remember there was a person. You know the most influential person in a person's life, in their lifetime? It's their teachers. 8 hours a day over X amount, and coaches. They get the most time with them. Did you know if these young people, they come to church every single week and they go to church camp with us? They go take all their whole entire church one day a week and summer camp. We're only going to get them if they come to all the church services and they plug in. We're only going to get them for one whole week of the whole year. Do you think that 7 days a week, 24 hours for 7 days, 1 week is enough time to combat the other 51 weeks that the world is offering them? It's not. 1 week is not going to trump 51 weeks. So we got to give them all we got. We got to pour into them. That's something that will be remembered. We talk about the kingdom of God, the church. If you invest in God's kingdom, there'll be remembrance. They will remember. They will remember you. Back to the message, verse 12. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human being. It's tough out there on those streets is what he's saying. Y'all remember COVID? Come on, anybody remember COVID? Any of my old people here remember 2008, the recession of 2008? Anybody remember that? That was wild. I remember my father-in-law's here today, and I sat underneath his leadership for 8 years, and they started our church. I remember when COVID hit, I was like, I would rather him be the pastor than me be the pastor. Like, it's hard out here. One of my friends the other day, he goes, man, God's really, really taking care of me, really, really blessing me. I'm like, because you went through a long season of hardship. It's like God's catching up now. It's a tragic existence out there. You've heard me say it before. This generation has been to more of their friends' funerals than they have been to their friends' weddings. That's sad. 22 vets take their life every single day. The prisons, we were just with this past week, the prisons are full of people. And they're not getting less people, they're getting more people. And then on top of that, the people that get out, they go back in again. Which is why we partner with Freeway, because Freeway, they're going in there preaching the gospel in the prisons. They're sharing the gospel in the prisons. They had 11 people saved in January. And the guy over all the prisons in Central Florida, they became friends with them. And he said, I'm gonna let you go in any prison you want to go to in Florida and share the gospel. And get this, when they went to go to do this, I just found this kind of a cool story. I know if we're streaming or not, so say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyways. When they went to go do it last time, they put up a U-Haul to go and unload this U-Haul, all the sound equipment and the baptism trough, all those things. And some of the guys that run with Freeway, they're convicted felons. And if you're a convicted felon, you can't go serve in prison. They were convicted felons serving inside of prison. I know the police officer in here was like, ugh. Only in the kingdom of God can that happen. Only in the kingdom of God can you meet the guy over all the prisons and say, hey, we're going to let you guys in and kind of just take you guys through the back door. Only in the kingdom of God can that happen. So we go back to the story. There's a lot of side tangents in this passage. I mean, all these tangents came from in this verse of scripture. 14, that sounds good. I like that. Verse 14 says, yeah, tragic existence. I observed everything under the sun, and really, it's all meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out, here's this whole synopsis. I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly, but I learned firsthand that pursuing all of this is like chasing the wind. I chased after everything. The Bible talks about lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Girls, gold, and glory. Or guys, gold, and glory. It's in there. It's in First John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Everything you're chasing can be summed up in those three things. Girls, gold, and glory. Guys, gold, and glory. More stuff, or more look at me, or more sex. Find out, it's all a dead end. Because I got all that. Then verse 17, let me finish this. He goes, I set out to learn everything out from wisdom to madness and folly, but I learned firsthand that pursuing all this like chasing wind. Verse 18, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. See you guys next week. Two quick things. Whatever you're chasing, just want to give you a heads up, whatever it is, it won't satisfy you. It won't. I've lived long enough. Hopefully I get to live a lot longer. I live long enough to know. I've seen every version of guys, girls, glory, and gold. I've seen so many versions of that. I've seen lots of iterations of it. I'm just telling you today, whatever you're chasing, it won't satisfy you. Now, I've been at some churches where the pastors have tried to identify things that you're chasing. I'm not interested in that this week. I've got so much content, so many things that God's downloaded in my spirit to share with you over the month. I can't tell you what's going to happen next week, but I know there's a lot of content. Because the writer is telling us he tried everything, and what he said is that none of it satisfies. It's just chasing. It's like thing after thing after thing. It's like, oh, I'll try this, and then 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 I'll try organic. Clearly, this is organic. Look how beautiful it looks. Like, I'll just keep on trying this. Then I'll just try all these things. And the enemy in the world, the enemy dangles this out in front of you. This is probably one of the weeks I'm probably overstepping. The enemy dangles it out there in front of you, or the world dangles out there in front of you, and you never get it. And if it doesn't satisfy. I'm here to offer you today. God's here to offer you something that can actually satisfy you. I watched these sweet girls in this room here today hit home runs out of the park. It's so cool watching them. Their moms and dads are proud of you guys. I love that. I was getting ready today. I saved some home run balls from my junior year and senior year. That used to be what I chased. And isn't that embarrassing? Like, it's going to be worth money someday. But I'm like, I chased that. There's no preachers giving out autographs. Or at least nobody wants them. The only place a preacher gets an autograph, by the way, is in a foreign country. And they just think they're from America. They're like, it's awesome. So I've been in the Philippines in a receiving line, signing autographs. You know what's sad about that? Is I used to like it. Isn't that sad? That's the pride of life. It's the pride of life. I'm doing a wedding in a few weeks. And I was telling the couple, I was like, I've been at weddings before with a preacher. He never preaches to a full room. So he preached for like 30 minutes. It's really embarrassing. I'm like, and I know because I used to be so excited about full rooms. It's the pride of life. Because you can be in these shoes and go, well, look at all these people that are coming to hear me preach. like, then you talk to you guys, like, no, it's actually just the 3 minutes that Dinah preaches between the songs. That's why we're actually here. I get it. But you could get so, that is one of the ones that I asked my guys, my friends, we got like, which one of those, I asked my pastor that I'm coaching, I'm like, which one of those three will take you out? Which one of three of those do you think are most likely to take you out? Or which one of those, I'm good on that one, I'm good on that one. Well, most of them, none of them are like pride. Because after I've been in this long enough, I realized I couldn't get you guys to all show up. It just reaffirmed me that God could, me being here just reminds me that God can use anybody. I had more suspensions at a Christian school than one kid would need. I had enough people tell me, you're not gonna amount to anything. I had guys in Bible college with my peers say, you know, you're not gonna make it. And I just, affirmation probably. My mom and dad affirmed me so well. They were great parents. But like I tasted it. I'm like, this tastes good. I've heard it say this, don't read your own press clippings. It's okay if I'm not gonna ask you guys, I'm just being vulnerable today. When magazines or the newspaper here does a write-up on you, all those could feed to your pride. All these young people, these athletes, way better athlete than I ever was. You know, oh, this is awesome. Look at so-and-so. I made it to the paper. I got in the paper this a few weeks ago. I didn't even know. The only reason I got in the paper because I prayed over these young people and I recorded this motivational talk for them. It's easy. It's easy to be like, look at me. This is very therapeutic for me. I had one of our other friends, she goes to the church here, and she works for a very important person in the community. And she's like, oh, I showed my boss your what you said. That was, and I was like, I was sharing the Bible. It's not even my content. And I'm going, but what I found out is as I've gotten a lot of that, it didn't satisfy. And here's the greatest freeing thing for me. Even in all this, I was like, grow to 100, grow to 200, go to 300. And our church's been at 400 for 2 years. And I was like, oh man, I want more people to show up. I want more people to show up. And then at some point along the journey, I was like, I'm just gonna be healthy. And I want a healthy church. And a lot of you like, oh, church pastor wants church to grow. And then I found out I just want church to be healthy. And I realize that healthy things always grow. If there's the right soil and the right fertilizer and there's water and we're pulling the words out. And then this is all me. I don't know what your thing is. I'm just kind of, my buddy said to me recently, a dear friend, and it's really helped me. If you don't have community in your life, you need it. Nicely, he said to me, we need less Wes and more Word. You know what the bad news was? I couldn't argue with him. Because this Bible says, less of me. It says, I must decrease and he must increase. It says, Psalms 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name. Colossians tells us that we're supposed to, everything that God gave us, all the breath, we do it to him, we do it for him, we do it from him. And any other version of that, I think it's in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You read the book, you tell me what it says. In this room in here today, we are chasing something. Likes. We're thirsty. And whenever we get there, if it's not the living well of Jesus, it will leave us wanting more. These guys in the video said, I just tried, I was just pot. And like, it wasn't that bad. And then it turned to cocaine. You just keep on, because it doesn't satisfy. And then you want more. Can I tell you today, honestly, what we all need is that we all need relationship with Jesus Christ. We all need that. That is what gets that pride out in community. That is what gets the me out of me. It's the gospel. Gospel is good for our eternity, but it's good for our earth. It's good for the version of you. The gospel is good for your marriage. The gospel is good for your parenting. The gospel is good for your high school career. It's good for your, it's good for everything. It's good for your retirement. If you're about to retire today, the gospel is good for everything. It literally, there's not a space where it doesn't work really good. And so I want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior today. All your problems won't go away, but it'll help. It'll help you with the chasing. And somehow it chases you. Somehow, if that's when you get the gospel, it, I heard it, my friend said it this way, the gospel works best when we let the gospel do the work. Isn't that so good? The gospel works best when we let the gospel do the work. And so you receive the gospel today, the good news that Jesus came, he died, he rose again for your sins, he died in our place, he rose again. You accept that into your life, and then he begins to lead you and guide you because he gives you the thing called the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit helps you not chase these things. It helps me go, I don't need that. I don't need to be on the fastest growing churches of fastest growing churches in America. I don't, building or no building, I just want to, I want to please the Lord. And I want to make sure as many people as possible don't go to hell because of this church. I don't want anybody to go. But on our watch, we're going to make sure that they don't have to go to hell. Can I invite you to stand to your feet? And can I give you a moment today to invite Jesus to be your Savior all across the way? You're here today, and I think the message was loud and clear. You need Jesus. It wasn't one of the points in the slide, but we need Jesus. We need Jesus. So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then you can be saved. What am I believing, Pastor Rush? You're believing that Christ came, he died, and he rose again. He died in your place. He didn't die just for you. He died as you, and he rose again. He did it for you and for me. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, he wants you right now to ask you. He wants you right now to ask him to be your Savior. We always say it's as simple as ABC. You have to admit that you've done wrong, because we've all done wrong. That's easy to admit. We have to, letter A is admit. Letter B is believe that he died on the cross and he rose again. You have to believe that. And letter C, you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. God, I know that I've sinned. I'm asking you to be my Savior today. I'm asking you to come to my life and save me. And that last part is like, you believe it in your heart. But you got to ask him. It's a gift that you have to accept. It's a gift that you have to accept. Because a gift is only good as if you accept it. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor West, I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you right where you're at to ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'm actually going to help you. So if that's you today, you go, man, you're talking to me, Pastor West. Right there where you're at, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe today that you died and you rose again for my sins. I invite you into my life, Jesus. You can have control. I confess all my sins to you, God, ones in the past and the ones in the future. And I'm asking you to come into my life and to guide me and to lead me. And then say this, God, I'm gonna follow you in my life. I don't know what all that means, God, but I'm gonna follow you. And then just say, thank you for saving me, Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.